Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today on Route 51, we feature an extended interview with two of Wisconsin's most influential political figures, Republican Tommy Thompson, a four-term governor, former presidential and U.S. Senate candidate, and Secretary of Health and Human Services under President George W. Bush, and Democrat Donna Shalala, former chancellor at UW-Madison, former president of the Clinton Foundation, former president of the University of Miami, current candidate for Congress, and Secretary of Health and Human Services under President Bill Clinton. I'm Glenn Mobert. Governor Thompson and Dr. Shalala came to Wausau to help celebrate the 10th anniversary of WIPS, the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. Later in the program, we'll get analysis from WIPS Executive Director Eric Giordano, who will also reflect on his past 10 years of public service with his organization. Because the interview was pre-recorded, we won't be taking listener phone calls until the final segment of today's show. And first, here's Governor Tommy Thompson and Dr. Donna Shalala, who spoke to us Wednesday afternoon in our Wisconsin Public Radio studios.
You know, WIPS is an organization that has good public policy, and both Donna and I, share a desire and a passion for public policy and good public policy. So it's a great opportunity for us to, for me anyway, and I'm sure the same for Dr. Shalala, is to come up and articulate our vision, but also to promote good public policy in the state and the country.
I think not only doing public policy, but also civil discourse. And Governor Thompson and I worked together in an era in which it didn't make any difference whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. You both had the same goal, and that is, in my case, to make the University of Wisconsin a great university, which the view the governor shared. Civil discourse, teaching the next generation of young people to be good citizens is part of the goal of WIPS.
You both came from relatively humble beginnings. Donna Shalala, you were born in Cleveland. You grew up in a Maronite Christian Lebanese family. You graduated from West Technical High School, and you got a bachelor's degree in 1962 from the Western College for Women. How did your childhood and that background influence your career as a UW chancellor, then a health and human services director, the president of Miami University, and the president of the Clinton Foundation?
Well, I'm the granddaughter of immigrants and of parents who believed that in the American dream, and believed that young people should get a college education to achieve that kind of dream. I didn't go to a fancy high school. I went to a technical high school. Many of my classmates went off to fight in the Vietnam War. Most of them did not go to college, but went into industries in Cleveland. So I know what it's like to live from paycheck to paycheck. And I had a large supportive family, and I think they gave me the self-confidence to move along in my career, and they've always been supportive. No, by the way, no matter what their political views, I used to tell Governor Thompson that my father was the national chairman of Lebanese for Taft. So I can't.
Well, same question for you, Governor Thompson. You were born in Elroy, Wisconsin, in a Catholic family. Your mom was a teacher.
Not really a Catholic. It was a mixed family. My father was a Methodist. My mother was a Catholic. My father was a Methodist.
Well, your dad ran a gas station and a little grocery store. You ended up as a four-term governor, then Secretary of Health and Human Services, a presidential candidate, a board member for more than 20 organizations. How did your childhood and your upbringing influence you?
Well, just like Donna, when you grow up poor, I'm not saying that we were denied anything. It was just that we didn't have anything. And my father was a German and my mother was Irish. And my father was very much on task. And he taught me at a very early age when I went to ask him for a bicycle. He says, well, you come down to the grocery store and work and you can buy your own bicycle. So he taught me hard work and he taught me, that nothing comes easy and you have to earn it. My mother was a school teacher, public school teacher, and she was a charmer. She was really nice and personable. My father was more dour. And she taught me, you know, the need to be very gracious and generous. And so those two things helped me. Plus, growing up in Elroy, where a population of 1,600, you can call somebody, get a wrong number, still talk for a half an hour. You know, it helped. And my father always said, Tommy, you got two ears and one mouth. Use them in that proportion, and you'll get along just fine. So it was sage.
Well, that's good advice, not only for politicians, but for reporters, too.
Yeah, it's good advice, but it's sage advice. And it was the fact, you know, that I had the public school teacher, I had the small business person, and plus we tried to farm at the same time. So it was hard work, and hard work never hurts anybody. And it helps to build, I think, a good constitution. So my upbringing, I'm very proud of it. Plus, you know, in a small school, you have to go out for athletics, because if you don't play football, the girl next door has to. And so I played all four sports. And so you get a chance to do things like that, that in a larger city, I never would have had the capabilities to do. And so I'm blessed with good parents and a good childhood and a good bringing up in Elroy.
Well, Donna Shalala, the adventure is not over for you yet. You're running for Congress in the Miami, Florida area, correct?
I am.
And she's 30 points ahead, so she's going to be. She's going to be the congresswoman from that area. Well, I'm proud of her.
Why are you doing it?
Well, you know, I'm very concerned with what's going on in our country. I've always thought of myself as a role model for young people. I want us to keep moving forward in this country, including how we treat new people that come to our country. And the governor and I agree that everyone should have an opportunity to have first-class health care and a first-class education. And I want to make sure that this country keeps investing in the next generation and treats those who have served our country with great respect. So I decided to step up again. Public service is in my blood, and it's not out of me yet. So I've decided that I'm going to run. And as I've said to the people of Miami, I'm not a rookie, and I'm not going to go to Washington as a rookie. I know some things, and I've had some experiences. And I actually believe in citizen legislators. That is, I believe that people that have done a bunch of things in their life make good public servants.
Well, Tommy Thompson, 6 years ago, you ran for the Senate. In 2008, you ran for president. You ran for governor, and you were elected four times. Is the political bug out of your system yet? Are we going to see another political race in Tommy Thompson?
I don't know about that, but the political bug is never far removed from me. I'm like Donna in that regard. I love politics. I love government. I love good government. And I think we've become so partisan and so polarized in our society that I think it's a shame. And I still am very much involved in politics. I don't know if I'll ever run again. I'm getting up there in years, so I probably won't. But I would never say never. Every time elections come around, I've got the urge, so to speak. My family would kill me. But it doesn't mean that there isn't something out there that might trip my wire and get me back in. I doubt it, but there's still a possibility. I'm not going to say no.
Well, you were reelected by wide margins,
right,
as governor. Back in 1994, it was 67% to
31%. 68.
Okay, 68.
67.7. I rounded up to 68. You rounded it down.
Then 60% to 39% in 1998. You can't get numbers like that unless you have crossovers from Democrats. How do you do it?
We had a philosophy in my administration is that we took care of our base in the third year of the election. The fourth year of the election, we went out to try to get as many independents and as many Democrats to support me as possible. And so it was really a plan. And I always believed, you know, there's no such thing as just a Republican idea. And only good ideas come from Republicans. I believe very strongly that good ideas come from both political parties. And I used to invite Democrats in, and as Donna said, we worked very closely, she being a Democrat, me being a Republican, for advancement in the University of Wisconsin. We both loved the university, and we wanted to do the best job possible. So the love, the desire for good public policy needs to bring us together. But where I am different than what takes place today, I believe that you should reach out to as many people as possible. The philosophy now of some people, I'm not saying everybody, but the philosophy is somebody, all I want is 50% plus one vote. That's
right.
A badge of honor that I just got the conservative base or I just got the liberal base and we were able to win and I don't need to worry about those other people. I wanted every vote. And Jim Clauser, my Secretary of Administration, we always bemoaned the fact when I got the 68%, I was upset I didn't get the other 32%. I was wondering why I didn't get more. I carried every county except Menominee County, and I only lost that by 22 votes. So,
well, Dr. Shalala.
You know, Governor, I really think that you won that time because Wisconsin started to go to the Rose Bowls.
Yeah, well, that was you and I were both there. You had a great deal to do with hiring Pat Richter and getting Barry to come and start a – We started a wonderful
Barry Alvarez, for those who
Barry Alvarez,
have
yes.
been under a rock for the last 50 years. Dr. Shalala, do you think you'll get any Republican votes in your run for Congress? I know there aren't a lot of Republicans in the district, but are you trying to reach out to them?
Oh, there are a lot of Republicans in the districts, absolutely. I agree with the governor's philosophy that you want to promote yourself as being responsible for good government, and you want to represent all the people, no matter what their political views are. And I believe that people vote for the person, not just for the party. As polarized as we are now, I think people want to have confidence in their leaders and look at what they've done and vote for people who can produce.
As you both said, we live in polarized times. Our elections seem to be decided for the most part by just a percentage point or two. Democrats and Republicans don't get along. They don't compromise either in Congress or in a lot of our state legislatures. And in the last presidential election, family members stopped talking to each other for the way they cast their votes. Comment, if you could, on this hyper-partisanship and whether you see it is being a real substantive threat to our democracy.
It's more than a threat to the democracy. It's a threat to getting things done that improves the lives of people in our country. So fundamental to that, to what we believe in as a democracy, is that we want to constantly improve the lives of the people that live here. And you can't do that if you're so partisan. You've got to learn to work together.
Tommy Thompson.
All I can say to add to what Dr. Shalala said is that it just doesn't make any sense to be so polarized and so partisan, because as I said before, Democrats have good ideas, Republicans have good ideas. Isn't it better to work together and get the best idea out there? I used to invite the Senate Democrats and the House Democrats into my governor's office every week. And they would always come in and say, I would tell them how far I could go. They'd tell me how far they go, and then we'd sit down and say, "How do we get joinder? How do we come together to meet that in the middle?" We started with positions that were somewhat apart, but by looking together and looking at different alternatives, and as a result of that, we came up with a wonderful package. The prime example of that is Part D in Medicare. You know, it's considered one of the best parts of the Medicare law. It's an improvement. And we sat down with Democrats and Republicans that came up with bipartisan. I can remember
that happened when you were Health and Human Services Secretary.
That's right. But it was the need to compromise in order to get it. If we would have stayed as a Republican position or as a Democrat, we would have never gotten it done. And Part D works well. 90% of the seniors, and a recent poll said it was a very good program and they liked it.
In the Clinton administration, we worked with the governor on welfare reform, on children's health insurance. And that is, we took ideas, as people always have in this country, from Wisconsin.
And that's when you were
Security,
health and,
yes,
you were
exactly.
Health and Human Services Secretary.
But if you look back over our history, so many of the good ideas about social welfare have come from Wisconsin, not just from New York, but from Wisconsin, whether it was Social Security or Medicare or children's health insurance or welfare reform.
Unemployment compensation.
Exactly. This has been a laboratory of democracy, and both Republicans and Democrats have played and tried to reach a compromise to make improvements in our country.
Well, we enacted the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, in order to reduce the number of uninsured people in the U.S. Republicans have chipped away at it a little bit since Mr. Trump was elected. They've eliminated the individual mandate, which was a very unpopular part of that law. Comment, if you could, on the current state of health care in the U.S. and how we can improve it. And Governor, let's start with you.
Well, I think, you know, as a Republican, you know, I'm not saying that Obamacare was all wrong, because it wasn't. There were some good parts of it. But what is wrong with Obamacare was the way it was passed. Any big social movement in America, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, always was done on a bipartisan basis. It was Obamacare was done on a partisan basis. And I don't blame the Democrats for doing it, because Republicans didn't want to participate. But what you needed to do when you have big social movements, you need to be able to have bipartisan support in order to go out and be able to articulate that bipartisan view to America. That's what we did on Part D. The healthcare today, you know, we're still got a great healthcare system in America. You know, there's a lot of criticism, but the truth of the matter is, if you get sick, no matter where you are in the world, you want to come back to America. You want to come to Wausau and get taken care of instead of being taken care of in China, so to speak. I'm not taking anything away from the Chinese. I'm just saying that our system is very good. It needs improvements. It needs to allow people. It's too expensive, and it's too labor intensive, and it's not using the new techniques and the new medicines as well as it should.
And Dr. Shalala?
I agree with much of that. I think affordability is the next issue in healthcare. That people that live from paycheck to paycheck, which is most of us, need to know that our healthcare insurance costs are not going to go up as rapidly as they've gone up. Taking on the issue of costs in healthcare is not easy. It's a very different politics than trying just to cover everybody. Because there are so many stakeholders, so many people involved. All of us want everybody to have good, comprehensive health care programs. We've built it based on an employer-based system that's fallen apart a little bit. Government does have a role here, but we're going to have to join together to try to deal with the cost issue so that health care is affordable for everybody.
You're listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio with former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson and former UW-Madison Chancellor Donna Shalala. They were both in Wausau Wednesday to celebrate the 10th anniversary of WIPS, the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. I'm Glenn Moberg. Because the interview was pre-recorded, we won't be taking phone calls until the final segment of the show, when we'll be joined by WIPS Executive Director Eric Giordano. Up next, Tommy Thompson and Donna Shalala weigh in on Wisconsin's state Supreme Court race after these short messages. Madison band Loxley taking us into our next segment of Route 51. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today we're listening to an extended interview with former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson, a Republican, and former UW-Madison Chancellor Donna Shalala, a Democrat, who were in Wausau on Wednesday to celebrate the 10th anniversary of WIPS, the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. Later in the show, we'll hear from WIPS Executive Director Eric Giordano and take your phone calls. But first, let's hear Tommy Thompson and Donna Shalala as they weigh in on Wisconsin's state Supreme Court election. Democratic voters across the country have been pretty energized lately, largely in opposition to President Trump. Here in Wisconsin, a candidate who was supported by liberals, Rebecca Dallet, defeated a candidate who was supported by conservatives, Michael Skrenick, in the state Supreme Court race. After the results came in Tuesday night, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker warned that, quote, we are at risk right now of a blue wave in Wisconsin. Tommy Thompson, do you think the current governor is right?
Absolutely. I said it before he did. I said it in a speech in Milwaukee that the Republicans better watch out, that this reminds me of the election of 1970, when we had 55 members in the House of Representatives in the state assembly, and we went down to 33 because we lost touch with the people. And right now you look at the 10th Senatorial District, where a seat that was held by Republicans for 10 years switched in a special election, and a Democrat won. You see the Supreme Court, in which it was definitely the Republicans' supporter won, Democrats. I said 7 months ago that Scrinek was in trouble, that the Republican side was in trouble, and Dalit was probably going to win. I was not a bit surprised about the election. And I think Walker and the Republicans better heed the election, and they better start looking at what they do and get out and start talking to the people.
And Donna Shalala, do you see a blue wave, or do you think Democrats maybe are counting their chickens before they hatch?
Well, I do see a blue wave across the country, but we better pay attention to our chickens in the process, because this can change if we aren't doing the kind of politics and listening to people and reflecting their views. But there clearly is unhappiness with the current leadership, and it's being reflected across the country in local elections as much as it is in national elections. But, you know, politics can change on a dime, as Governor Thompson will tell you. So if Democrats want to take advantage of what's going on, they're going to have to pay attention. They're going to have outstanding candidates. You can't do it without outstanding candidates.
Well, you've also got gerrymandering, which is something that's a factor in democratically controlled states and Republican controlled states, which also makes
both
it very
political parties are guilty of.
Right. It makes it difficult to get rid of incumbents. Now Wisconsin's map, which was drawn up by Republicans, has been ruled unconstitutional by an appellate court. It's now before the U.S. Supreme Court. But we do see both parties pressing this whenever they're in power. Is this just a function of to the victor go the spoils, or should we have a system like we have in Iowa, where a nonpartisan panel of some sort draws up these districts? Dr. Shalala, let's start with you.
I certainly would prefer a nonpartisan panel. It's not helpful to have the kind of partisanship in the drawing of lines. Whether you can achieve that nationally is unlikely, because it really is a state-by-state decision, and the courts have pretty much held it up, except when there's been discrimination in the drawing of the lines. So I think all of us want fairness, and that certainly is what the public wants.
Well, Tommy Thompson, when Jim Doyle was governor and the Democrats had both the Assembly and the Senate, they could have passed an Iowa-style nonpartisan.
They could have, but they didn't.
They didn't.
No, they want one. But, I mean, that's politics. I mean, the truth of the matter is, when you have the power and to draw the lines, you're not going to give that up very easily. I mean, that's ingrained in the survivability of the person that's in government. But I think, you know, I think we've gone too far. The computers are so acute right now with the data that's inputted that you could tell how people are going to vote down the street. And so you can divide up a street for those people that are going to vote Republican, those are going to vote Democrat. That seems to be a little bit unfair. I'm not sure I have the answer yet, but I really think we have to make some modifications of the way we do it, have an independent court system, you know, look at the districts after they're drawn and pass on it. Maybe another way that we might be able to do it. But I don't think you're going to take, no matter who's in power, you're going to take it away from the legislature very easily.
But well, technology allows us to do this with a lot more fairness. When I was a young political scientist, I remember going to the New York State Legislature and going into the secret room where they had a map that covered the floor, and they were walking across the map drawing lines for each of the districts. It was incredible. Now we can do it by computers, and we certainly could introduce more fairness. But this is part of getting the American people to have confidence in their government. If we're jerking this kind of thing around, how do we expect them to have confidence in their elected officials and in the governmental process itself?
Let's talk about education. You both said that you worked well together when you were governor, and Donna Shalala, when you were the chancellor at UW-Madison. The UW system has seen more than $250 million dollars in cuts in just a couple of years. We've got the two-year colleges now becoming part of the four-year universities. UW-Stevens Point is looking at scrapping 13 academic majors, all in the humanities, because they face a $4.5 million structural deficit. What's your view of the current state of higher education in Wisconsin? And if we've got problems, how do we fix it? And Tommy Thompson, let's start with you.
Well, you mentioned the $250 million cut, but the truth of the matter is there was money was restored. And this last budget is five.
But not as much as had been cut.
Probably not. Probably not, but it's been restored. You know, I'm a big believer in investing in higher education. I love the University of Wisconsin. I tell the story when people look at it. I said, you know, if you get somebody that's going to give you 80 cents, if you put in 20 cents and you're going to get 80 cents back, how often would you agree to that? You'd probably agree to it every single day. Anyway, I would, and twice on Sunday. And that's what the state has only put in about 20%, and 80% is coming from outside sources, from the federal government, from research grants and so on. So the University of Wisconsin is really an employer that creates jobs and opportunities, and we should not lose sight of that. We've got to be able to do it. But I think the University of Wisconsin, like every major university, is going to have to retool. Times are changing, and I'm not sure big universities as such without change are going to survive the way they have in the past. I think we have to make some dramatic changes and specialize in some fields and find out what's happening in the future and start adjusting higher education towards what's taking place tomorrow rather than the way we've done it in the last 10 years.
Donna Shalala?
Well, I think what's happened to higher education across the country is tragic. They've been the economic engines of their states. But more importantly, they've been what have lifted people into the middle class. And as parents complain about student debt and about high tuition, it's really because the states have started to withdraw their support of higher education. They've been squeezed because their Medicaid costs are so high and because the public does not want to pay more taxes. But there are very few advocates for great public universities anymore. The states used to take great pride in their great universities here in Wisconsin and in other places. So I consider this a national tragedy, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country.
Governor Thompson, you pioneered some of the first welfare reform legislation in Wisconsin, which enacted work requirements for recipients. It's been copied by states all around the country. But your critics accused you of being hard-hearted. How do you respond to them?
Well, I don't think I was hard-hearted at all. I grew up in Elroy. I wanted to make sure that people didn't have to depend upon the government. I wanted them to be able to be independent, and that was the basis. And people don't all realize this, but I used to invite welfare mothers into the executive residence to have lunch with me. And I developed most of my ideas on welfare talking to welfare mothers. So I was not hard-hearted. I was very compassionate. And they told me they would get off of welfare if we could provide for child care, for daycare, and for health care, and for education, and for transportation. And I said, if we do this, would you go to work? They said, absolutely. So instead of being hard-hearted, a lot of strong conservatives accused me of being too much of a too generous to people on welfare. And I told the Congress when I appeared in front of both houses of the Congress when they were talking about welfare reform, I said, you're not going to do this on the cheap. If you want to do it on the cheap, don't do it. You're going to have to invest in people. You're going to have to provide these sources, and then you can require people to go to work. And the end run is people are going to be independent, and they're going to be having a job, and then they can start paying taxes. That's the payoff, not what's going to cost to go in, because that's going to be more expensive.
We've stepped up enforcement of our immigration laws. The president is pushing his border wall, and now he says he's going to put U.S. troops on the Mexican border. Still no solution for DACA or the Dreamers. Donna Shalala, there are a lot of Hispanics in the Miami area where you're running for Congress. And Tommy Thompson, we've got large Hispanic populations in Madison, in Milwaukee, and in Abbotsford, and a lot of the rural parts of Wisconsin. So what do we do about immigration, and how important are Hispanics to the economy? Donna Shalala.
Well, I think the Hispanic population is very important, as are immigrants important to our economy, as we revitalize our economy. But let me make this point. We keep focusing on people that are coming across the border, when the fact is that our biggest problem is people that overstay their visas. They come into this country legally, and then we don't track them, and they overstay their visas. So just focusing on the Mexican border even though all of us favor tightening up on people that are coming here without visas, we also have to make sure that we track people as they come in on visitors' visas, on student visas, and make certain that there's fairness in admitting people. Now, what we're going to do about 12 million people who are here already, who have been here for years, particularly the DACA kids, we've got to find a pathway for them. And we've got to build a bipartisan coalition again to agree on what the rules are going to be for immigration and how we're going to treat these young people, plus the 12 million people that are getting up every day and going to work in this country. But just closing the border is not enough, or building a wall or sending the military down there, because that's not where our problem is. Our major problem is people overstaying their visas.
President Trump has been criticized by some Republicans, including Governor Walker, for enacting tariffs against Chinese steel and aluminum. The Chinese have responded with tariffs against a number of agricultural products,
absolutely,
including cranberries and ginseng, which are big economic drivers in Wisconsin.
Central Wisconsin.
Yeah, Central Wisconsin produces 90% of the U.S. Chinese, the U.S. ginseng crop, and 85% of that goes to the Chinese. Should we be levying tariffs against Chinese goods, Tommy Thompson?
Well, first off, let me, you asked Don a question about immigration. I think the Latino population is very important to our economy. I think both political parties have got to come together and come up with a solution. We do not want illegal immigration, but we want legal immigration, and we've got to come together on DACA and on legal immigration and how we're going to enforce the borders. I think it's very important. On tariffs, tariffs are okay, and there's certainly a need for some tariffs, but the truth of the matter is a tariff war with China is not going to benefit anybody. I absolutely agree with the governor, and I'm opposed to the president, you know, with the tariffs on aluminum and steel. It's only going to hurt America's business people and America's consumer. And so I'm much more of a free enterprise trader, allowing the trade system to work much more so. I think if these tariff wars continue and we start hurting agriculture with corn exports, with soybean exports, which a lot goes to China and Latin America.
Pork
out of Iowa. And if we have our cranberries and our ginseng hurt because of tariff wars, we're not at a tariff war right now. We're at a sort of a slap in the face kind of situation. But I don't like it. I like to have the country sit down and start looking at ways in which they can open up the borders and allow for more trade. That helps everybody. It helps a poor country, and it helps a country like the United States of America.
What do the two of you think of President Trump and the Republican Congress and what they've been doing over the past 2 years? What, if anything, do you like? What, if anything, do you not like? Donna Shalala, we'll start with you.
Well, there's not much I like because they haven't gotten a lot done. I mean, the tax bill, certainly our Republicans will take credit for, but it didn't do enough for the middle class from my point of view. And they made some changes in health care that are not very helpful, including eliminating the mandate, which Republicans have always argued is necessary if we're going to have an insurance system in which we spread the risk. So I think that the fact that the parties have not been able to get together, they haven't been able to do bipartisan work together, and that we can never predict what this president is going to say or do from one day to another. It's hard to, without consistent leadership, to get anything done or to have any trust between the Congress and the executive branch. The turnover in cabinet is unbelievable. In all my years studying government, I've never seen anything quite like this. I'm sure that Governor Thompson will be more generous. But I think I reflect how people feel about this. Watching Washington is embarrassing these days.
Governor Thompson?
Well, I think, you know, I think when you look at it, why did Trump get elected? He got elected because he said he was going to address a lot of issues. Overregulation under Obamacare was really hurting the economy big time. He's addressed that. He's addressed, you know, a Supreme Court justice, which people wanted, and they got a very good one. It may not be what Donham would have chosen, but I think he's going to be excellent. Got a tax package, a tax cut, which is a major tax cut, probably the biggest in the last 25 to 30 years. I like his policies. I like the fact that he is addressing policies, strengthening the military, you know, things that people want and I think need. What I don't like is the way he announces things and tweeting. You know, he shoots himself in the foot. His policies are good, I think, in a lot of areas, and I like them. But if he would only be a little more willing to use diplomacy instead of punching you in the nose. He's somewhat of a bully, and I don't like that part of the administration. But I do like what the issues that he's addressing, because I think America wanted him to address them, and he's doing it. So you got to give him credit for that.
But, Governor, you can't like what he's done on the environment, because this is a state that cares deeply about the environment.
Well, you're talking to me, Donna, and I had the biggest purchase of land of any governor. You know how my record is.
I do.
Costs are very big. But the truth of the matter is the over-regulations, you can have regulations, but over-regulations that in the conservation area is just as bad as it is in the economy. And you've got to be able to reduce some of these harshness in some of the rules and regulations. You know, Donna and I are going to differ whether or not the government should be doing it or individuals or individual states. I always say, and I think Donna would probably agree in some of this, let the states do it. And I think we've gotten too far away from that. And I think Donald Trump, the president, is pushing us more for state control, which I like.
We are completely out of time. I
no
want to
kidding.
Thank both of you for being here. And you've been generous with your time, and we really appreciate it. And good luck to both of you.
Thank you very much. And thank you for having us.
You've been listening to an interview with former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson and former UW-Madison Chancellor Donna Shalala on Route 51. They were both in Wausau on Wednesday to celebrate the 10th anniversary of WIPS, the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll get analysis from WIPS Executive Director Eric Giordano, and we'll take your phone calls. If you want to weigh in on what you heard from Tommy Thompson and Donna Shalala, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. 1-800-780-9742. You can also put a comment on the Route 51 webpage.
The Rio, Chilton, Weston, Elkhorn, Seymour, Denmark, Mishicot, Kaja, Jefferson, Brilliant, Wisconsin Rapids, Lincoln, New Holstein, Plymouth, Olsenee, Kewaunee, Kewaunee, Winnicani, Gale, Hatcher, Triple O, Belmont, Wyoega, Fremont, and Horicon, Chilton, Burlington, Stoughton, Lake Holcomb, Glarus, Delvian, Darren, Edgar, Cashton, Darlington, Westby, Monroe, Judah, Wisconsin Dells, Bondowell, Wisconsin Heights, Mauston, Granton, Benton, Tigerton, Milton, Clayton, Ashland,
I've been everywhere, man.
Caleb Sandy and Andrew Christensen taking us into our final segment of Route 51. I'm Glenn Moberg. You've just heard an extended interview with former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson and former UW-Madison Chancellor Donna Shalala. And they were in Wausau Wednesday for the 10th anniversary of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. Joining us in our final segment, WIPS Executive Director and UW-Marathon County Political Scientist Eric Giordano. We've also got time to squeeze in a few phone calls. What did you think of what you heard from Tommy Thompson and Donna Shalala? Give us a phone call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on our website, wpr.org/route51, and I will read it live on the air. Well, Eric Giordano, quite a way to celebrate the 10th anniversary of WIPS yesterday.
Yeah, good morning, Glenn. Oh, these are two professionals, two well-spoken and deep-thinking individuals. It was fantastic to have them.
Well, reflect back on the past 10 years and some of the highlights during that time.
Oh, goodness. Glenn, you know, I was thinking about this because I knew you were going to ask me, and you know, the first project we did was actually a project with you and WPR, and I will never forget it because it sort of launched us, and we did the Bridging the Shores, the Hmong American Experience in Wisconsin.
Right.
And that was just a fantastic project. We got students involved. We had a companion website. And ultimately, you guys won some national awards for that program.
Yes, we did.
And we won a Chancellor's Award. It was just a fantastic program all around. It got picked up nationally, and another thing that comes to mind is in the 2009-2010 timeframe, to keep it on that sort of theme of Hmong Hmong in Wisconsin, we hosted and helped organize a conference around Hmong domestic violence issues. And General Vang Pao attended, and it really, for the first time in history, he decried domestic violence and set up a panel of equal numbers of men and women to address that issue. We were very proud to be a small part of that. And we could go on and on conferences on the Affordable Care Act and so on. But
and debates. You've sponsored
right.
a number of debates.
Again, with you and Wisconsin Public Television, yes.
Yeah, you have members of both political parties on the WIPS Board of Directors, and we do live in a hyper-partisan age. How unusual is it for an organization like yours to be talking about public policy issues but doing it in a nonpartisan way?
Yeah. I think a lot of people talk about nonpartisanship, but we walk the walk and or walk the talk. And yes, we have conservatives and quite frankly we are and liberals and we are very conscientious about trying to keep balance and also making sure that we are strictly nonpartisan in everything we do.
I was struck by how well Tommy Thompson, who's a Republican, and Donna Shalala, who's a Democrat, got along during that interview, and how well they worked together when he was governor and she was UW-Madison chancellor. You know, they had very different views.
Right. Well, I think you heard exactly why they get along because, first of all, Thompson is certainly not a far-right politician. I mean, he was a centrist even back in the day, and I think you could pretty much consider him to be that way now. Interestingly, Donna sounded a little more centrist than I would have imagined. You know, she that answer she gave around you know the problem around immigration. I mean, she sounded a little like a conservative on that issue.
Yeah, absolutely, she said we have to control our borders.
Right, right. So you know, I think that they're what separates them, I think, from many today is their pragmatism. That they seem to be willing to work together. They're willing. They say they're willing anyway to work with the opposing party. I take them at face value. We need people like this in order to, you know, make a difference in the country.
Both decried today's atmosphere of hyper-partisanship and the lack of civil discourse. Thompson said, and this is a quote, "Democrats have good ideas. Republicans have good ideas."
Yeah, of course. Of course. That's how it works. And maybe one slight disagreement I'd have with him is he said, you know, and therefore the best idea will come out. Well, I think part of the problem today with the hyper-partisanship is that both sides think they have the best idea, but they're unwilling to bend to take in ideas of each other. So really, we aren't getting necessarily the best, as he put it. We're getting the extreme version of the best on both sides.
What did you think of him talking about those massive majorities he rung up during the elections? I said you won with 67% of the vote. He corrects me. He says, no, it was 68%, and I wanted the extra 32%. He wanted everybody to support him, not just Republicans, but Democrats and independents.
Well, I think that's what made him so successful because he's sharp as a tack, and he knows which counties – even today, he knows which counties he lost. He knows which votes he did and didn't get, and by golly, he's going to – I mean, you know, that attention to detail is what won him elections.
And they both came from humble backgrounds. They talked about that. Donna Shalala, her grandparents were immigrants, and she went to a technical high school in Cleveland. And Tommy Thompson was talking about growing up in Elroy with his dad, who ran a gas station and a grocery store. And he had to work in that store if he wanted a bicycle.
Yeah, testament to their families, testament to their personal character. I mean, not everybody in poverty makes it out of poverty, but those who do usually end up being special individuals because, you know, they know what it takes to get to the top.
And Thompson has really talked about the virtues of hard work all during his political career. And immigration is very important to Donna Shalala.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, clearly, you know, and it shows two sides of an American dream, right? One is growing up in a small local area, rural, and pulling oneself up by hard work, and the other, the promise that America had for immigrant families, and really to see where both fulfill a version of the American dream.
What was interesting to me too is how they both worked together during the 1990s when Thompson was governor and Shalala was the UW-Madison chancellor. Thompson said he's a big believer in education, and Shalala said what's happening now to higher education in Wisconsin and across the country is tragic due to a lack of funding by state governments. But she said this is a national problem, and there are very few advocates for for higher education in universities now.
Yeah, and I have to admit, you know, to your audience, I'm definitely biased on this one. I agree with Don. I think it is a tragedy, and here's why. I think that there's a view out there that we have to train to the job, and there is some truth to that, and we need to think about the jobs over the next 30 years. But Donna's approach is interesting, and I agree with it, which is what a liberal arts education does and a four-year degree does is it trains people and prepares them for not the first job but for the third job that they're going to get, because they're going to need to have the critical thinking skills, the self-learning, the motivation to learn that we don't even know what those jobs are yet. And if we try to train immediately every single person to the next job that's here right now, we're not going to be prepared for the future.
Well, that's why people are so upset about cutting the academic majors in the humanities at UW Stevens Point.
Yeah, correct.
Shalala noted that Wisconsin was the birthplace of Social Security, Medicare, children's health insurance, unemployment insurance, and welfare reform, that the state has been a laboratory of ideas for the entire nation.
Yeah, and you got to give Tommy Thompson an enormous amount of credit for that. And interestingly, I appreciated what he said, which is, look, you know, when I talked to those welfare moms, it helped me to understand, you know, this welfare to work program that, you know, was initiated here. I told Congress that they could do it, but they couldn't do it on the cheap because there are costs associated with this. But in the long run, we can make up those costs. I think today sometimes our politicians think we can just do this on the cheap and hope to reap rewards. And instead, what's happening is not mending or creating good policy.
They commented on Rebecca Dalit's victory in the state Supreme Court race. Thompson said he predicted she would win 7 months ago, and he said he agreed with Governor Walker that a blue wave may be coming. And he said it reminded him of 1970 when he was in the state assembly, and his Republican Party went from 55 seats to 33.
Yeah. Well, look, everyone who studies politics over time knows that these things go in cycles. And so it's not surprising that there is perhaps a turn in the pendulum that's going to swing to the left. You know, it's always the question is when that other party gets, you know, into power, what do they do? How do they govern? Are they, you know, are they governing in the interest of the people? And ultimately what happens is they try to maintain power rather than focus on governing. So ultimately the pendulum will swing one way and it will probably swing back the other way eventually.
They took markedly different views on Donald Trump. Thompson said he was following through on his campaign promises with the tax bill, the Supreme Court justice, and reducing regulations. Shalala said that tax bill didn't help the middle class enough.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
So there are the policy differences.
Yeah, definitely a policy difference. I've gotten out of the prediction game on elections. I think that the last election kind of spoiled all of us in the sense of, you know, it surprised us. And so I didn't necessarily predict it, but he did, he says.
But both decried the president's rhetoric. Shalala said, we don't know what he's going to say from one day to another. She said, watching Washington is embarrassing these days. And Thompson called the president a bully and said he should be more of a diplomat. That gets back to the whole idea of civil discourse and compromise.
Sure. On the left and right, I have not met anyone who likes how Donald Trump does this kind of communication. However, we have to remember, Thompson also said, but I like his policies. And so, you know, some of what he's doing are things that appeal to a certain segment in America for sure.
Well, all I can say about the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, Eric, is I hope the next 10 years is as good as the last 10.
I really appreciate that, Glenn. I appreciate you having me and just our partnership over the years. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. We want to thank today's guests, former Governor Tommy Thompson and former UW-Madison Chancellor Donna Shalala, and Eric Giordano, Executive Director of WIPS, the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. You can find out more about the organization and its mission at WIPPS.org. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Janice Schleiss. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Loxley, Caleb Sandy, and Andrew Christensen, and the UW-Madison Marching Band. If you missed part of the show, you can hear it again Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. And you can download it at WPR.org/Route 51. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we're heading out of town.